Morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
Let's ground thing in the Lord, praying for world peace.
Amen. So, have you ever made a mistake you couldn't stop thinking about? I'll take that as a yes. Maybe some past sin, you know, that keeps popping up at the worst possible time, right? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Feels like this huge weight just bearing down on you. And if you continue to carry it around with you, right, it seems to get heavier and heavier and heavier, right, church? That's what happens, absolutely. It's easy to get stuck in a cycle of negative talk, beating yourself up, falling into self-frustration. It's easy to get stuck in that, always questioning why after the fact. But listen, that cycle is not what God wants for us. No matter what we've done, we can approach Him and He will never, ever turn us away. He will never turn us away. Listen, church, sin happens, right? Sin happens. It's a fundamental truth of being human. Sin happens. We all sin. It happens when we turn away from God's way and try to do things our own way. Everyone on earth, everyone, listen, everyone falls short. Everyone sins. Jesus Himself said it. Mark 10:18. Jesus, you know, somebody approached Him and said, "Good teacher." And Jesus was like, "What are you calling me good for? There is none good except God alone." Paul said it. Romans 3:12 and 23. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all know what it's like to be haunted by sins and past mistakes. But that doesn't mean we have to allow those past mistakes to shape our future. Does not mean that. They don't define who we are or who we can become. All right? Simply put, excuse me. There's no point in beating ourselves up over anything. Really, it's not. God doesn't want that for us. He really doesn't. So, how can we approach God with our sin and truly let go of it? What we're going to do, let's start here in Daniel chapter 7. I kept looking until thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days took His seat. His vesture was like white snow and the hair of His head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out before Him. Thousands upon thousands were attending to Him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before Him. The court sat and books were opened. The only thing I want us to see out of this thing right here is the scene that's being played out. All right? It's a setting of a high supreme court. And the setting of its judge, God Almighty. Okay? So, now put yourself in the middle of that courtroom. And all those eyes, the myriads and myriads and thousands of eyes are on you. Put yourself there, right? And the books are opened. Books have opened and the record of your sins and your words and your deeds are all within that little book there. And the first one at the beginning of the trial, the very first one to speak up is the accuser. The very first one, all right? Revelation 12:10, he who accuses them before our God day and night. Basically, he is pointing out how rotten you are, how you should be condemned. He lists your sin one by one, ranting and raving against you. Then you're standing there in the midst of that court and seemingly alone as a Christian. But then your lawyer shows up. Your lawyer shows up. 1 John. You know, I think it's chapter 2. Right? I didn't put the chapter down, but verses 1 and 2. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So our lawyer shows up, right? And he starts out by saying, John 5:24. He starts out and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life." Excuse me. "And does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." The first thing he does is he quotes scripture. Just like an attorney would like go backwards to some trial and he would cite something from that trial that he could bring into this one. So that's exactly what he does. Then he goes on to explain your case. And he cites this passage again, only he reads it this way. Picture yourself, somebody's right there, right? And they're standing in the court, and everybody's looking at him, and the judge is looking at him. And all of a sudden, your attorney stands up, and he says it this way. Truly, truly, I say to you, this one, right here, this one heard my word. This one believes in you. This one believes in me. And because he believes in me, because he belongs to me, he has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed out of life into death. Then the judge looks at you and the gavel slams and you hear God say, not guilty. Case dismissed. First one who jumps up is the accuser. Mistrial. Mistrial. Explain this to me. What's going on here? And God himself, the judge, says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has set this one free from the law of sin and death. So who do we have on our side in that courtroom there? Jesus, and we got the judge, and we didn't even have to pay the judge off, right? He knows who we are, right? Freedom from sin is only found in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Jesus so desperately wants each and every one of us that he considered giving his own life was well worth the price to pay for ours. What a Savior. What a Lord. You know, if that doesn't resonate with you, and it should truly resonate with you, then perhaps you need to step back and reset your thinking, right? James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Reset by remembering who God is, the one who created you and gave you life in the first place. The one who freely sent his son to die on the cross for each one of us. The son who willingly came to do the Father's will for each one of us. This is how we need to reset our thinking. This is what we need to focus on. Listen, church, God wants to hear from us. We can talk to God about anything. Anything whatsoever. And the awesome part, God is never burdened by anything that we bring to him. And he's really always, always, always has an attentive ear. And if the weight of sin feels too heavy for you to carry, church, know that you're not carrying it by yourself. Jesus is right there. He's taking up the burden with you. Yet, you know, sometimes trying to confess our sins is uncomfortable. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable because we feel ashamed and we feel guilty within ourselves. You know, perhaps we even feel fear. But listen to Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Talking to God is between you and him, right? We can lay anything and everything out before him without saying a word. We do it within ourselves. Also, get a clear visual image of Jesus Christ right there with you, our advocate, our attorney, confessing your name before God, saying, this one belongs to me, confessing who you are. Talk to God with Jesus right there. Talk to him. You know, you can do it without any fear, without any shame. Because God loves to hear our voice. And in doing so, what's the reward? Forgiveness. A clean slate. I know that's hard to imagine. It's hard for me to imagine. But when we lay everything out there before God, case dismissed. Not guilty. Awesome. Lamentations chapter 3. Pick up in verse 22. Excuse me. The Lord's loving kindness and deeds never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It's good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Listen to verse 23. They are new every morning. God's compassion, God's loving kindness, God's forgiveness. Every day when we wake up, they're brand new. Every single day is a new opportunity to change direction. It's a new opportunity to reset, to get back in the flow with God, as long as you do it within yourself in total honesty. Total honesty. And there's so many things we can do to connect with God on a more fruitful and a more spiritual level. You know, talk to him as you would if he's your best friend, which he is. Talk to him like that. Pray to him. Read his word. Get a clear understanding that he loves you. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. God loves us. He don't care what we do, and he does care, but when we bring everything to him, God loves us. He loves us. Now, if you notice, and I'm sure you did, I handed out some red pens this morning along with your sheets. Perhaps you can feel you can write things down better than saying them out loud. Hey, I'm that way. I feel that I can express more through writing something out than actually speaking. But this is what I'd like you to at least try to do, right? Okay, jot down your sins with that red pen. Remember, this is between you and God. Jot your sins down, all right? No one else, just you and God. When you finish, go back and reread it. When you see that it's written in your own hand, this is your confession. This is your testimony. This is the things you're laying out before God. And then take notice of that red ink, the blood of Jesus Christ, right? That red ink that you wrote your sins down with, as the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever sin you've written down, whatever sin you've confessed, that red ink says, you're forgiven. And God sees that red ink and says, looks like disappearing ink to me. Because he doesn't hold anything against us. Then when you're done, right? Crumple that paper up and throw it in the trash. Because why? Because they're gone. The sins are gone. If God doesn't remember them, why should I? Right? Yes, Bob. Yes, Bob. We agree with you. Thank you, other Bob. Amazing, right? Listen, church. You don't have to be perfect when it comes confessing to your sins to the Father. You just have to start. You just have to start. He wants to hear it from us. Now, the Holy Spirit, I thought I was going to end there. But the Holy Spirit really put this on my heart to add this in. And we talked about it, and I was like, I don't know about that. And he said, put it there. Well, he won, right? So you're going to hear it anyway. Go back and recall that courtroom scene, okay? Notice, now there's somebody else standing there. And all those myriads and myriads of eyes are fixed on that one. And this one happens to be outside of Jesus Christ. Picture that. Then remember the accuser jumping up and ranting and raving against that person right there. The whole room falls silent. Falls silent, and they're waiting. Emptiness overtakes the one who's standing there because no lawyer shows up. No advocate shows up. And what happens after that? Don't even want to talk about. Scary to talk about. This is why it's so important for us as Christians to do our best to live the gospel, to do our best to share the gospel, because God wants everybody. God can exonerate and forgive everybody, and he will if we just bring it to him. Let me end here with two scriptures. 2 Timothy 4, pick up in verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Listen to that. Teachers in accordance with their own desires. Well, I think this is what God should be saying. I think this is what God wants me to know. No, there's only one thing he wants you to know. Get your face in the book. That's what he wants you to know. And it goes on. They will turn away their ears from the truth. They'll turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Hey, we have the great confession, right? the Great Commission, I'm sorry. Well, the Great Confession too, but the Great Commission. We have the Great Commission, right? To go out and preach the word, spread the word, share the gospel. Do it any way you can. Even if you just quote one little verse. Well, that's all God's looking for. Share my word. Mark 16, 15 and 16. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Listen, church, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ, and he's well worth bragging about, right? He is well worth bragging about. Let people know how he has worked in your life. Let them know. Perhaps something you say or do may spark them to want to know Jesus Christ. Keep him on retainer as a good lawyer and a good advocate, right? Keep him on retainer. And one thing too, keep the red pens. Even if you never use it, if you just look at it, if you throw it in a drawer and every time you open the drawer, you see that red pen and say, you know what? I can write my sins out. I can see the blood of Jesus and I can see I'm forgiven. Then just put it back in the drawer and close it. Me, I'd be opening the drawer like 40 times a day. Oh, that's a red pen again. I'd probably be saying to myself, why do I even put it in the drawer, right? I'll just keep it with me all throughout the day. But notice, right, like I said, it matches the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins. Right, church?
Yes, sir.
Amen, 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 amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we're so blessed and so thankful that we have the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the strength, Father God. It's there. And we have the advocate who fights on our behalf. To hear that Jesus Christ confesses us by name to you, Father God, is just amazing. It's amazing. What an honor, what a blessing to be called by name, by our Lord and Savior, to you. Confessing that we belong to you, confessing that our sins are forgiven, confessing, saying, I want this one in eternity with me. I can't even fathom how awesome that is, God. It's amazing. Just pray, Father God, that we keep our communications with you open, that we confess our sins. Hey, if we have to, write them out. Just ask Father God to keep our focus on you, because we know Jesus Christ is going to show up again one of these days real quick. And that's what we're waiting for, God. We just ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If there's anything we can do for anyone to get them closer to Jesus, come as we stand and sing.